Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. And it is about 4 in the morning, Mountain Time, United States, the Rockies, on Saturday, June 3rd, 2017. And you know, there is so much stuff to cover with, I don't even know where to start. But I guess I'm going to start with a little story. And then... We're going to talk about some international stuff. You know, we're going to talk about Trump's foreign trip. I got a number of emails from people saying, you didn't mention Trump's trip and his speeches and all that kind of stuff overseas last week. No, I did not. Because last week was a busy, busy show in and of itself. If you didn't listen, you should. The new civil war, the left, the right, etc. The globalists versus the nationalists. But I was saving up for this week because I wanted to see what the reaction was to the trip and what he was going to do in the Paris Accord, which, of course, he decided just in the last 24 hours. So we're going to be talking about the international trip, the Paris Accord, and that Paris Accord is going to lead us into the next segment of the show, which is the absolute lunacy of the left. On each and every level, male, female, media, private, political, celebrity, you name it. And I'm going to have some specific examples for you of left lunacy that you have not heard before. I guarantee you, some of these you have not heard, and you're just going to shake your head. I don't know about you folks, but I'm at the point where literally I laugh. I laugh when some of this dribble comes out of their mouths, or I hear about yada yada yada, or I see the back and forth on some panel on TV, or I hear the back and forth on some radio show, or read about it, you know, in one of the 200 newsletters or so I get a week. Unbelievable. And it's great for us. It's great for reasonable, sane, normal Americans. Because this craziness going on the other side is looked at with askance. I mean, it is detested by most Americans, and the other side, because they're so arrogant, and they're so full of themselves, and they're so smart, so much smarter than us bubbas, us bitter clingers, us irredeemable deplorables, they're so much smarter that it doesn't really matter what we think anyway. Except it does. And they're learning that it does, and that's what's driving him over the edge and making him even crazier. It's a political catch-22, which is so much in our favor, as you will see in 2018, if the Rhino Republicans don't blow it for everybody. We shall see. Anyway, that's going to lead us in a direction. I have some amazing stats to give you on inner-city schools. I'm going to use Baltimore as an example that just came out. I'm going to bring you up to date on some behind-the-scenes stuff you haven't heard about with Clinton. I mean, I'm sure you've seen snippets of her 40 minutes of whining, excuses, and fantasy land that she had this week in this interview with God only knows who. Who cares? It was really something to behold. I mean, at least half of it, I was there with my mouth open. And, you know, I'm I'm kind of in the biz. I don't get surprised very often. She was like, she was on drugs. I think she was on drugs. I really do. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then I'm going to tell you about a brand new Harvard University, Harvard University poll that's going to tell you what the USA is thinking about the media. You'll love that. And anyway, we got a lot of stuff to cover. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you this little story, which is really an extension of a story. And I've gotten a number of emails saying, so what happened? What happened? What happened about this insurance company that one of our ranches has been dealing with? And I had the story, the first part of the story, on, I think it was 3 weeks ago. Is that right, producer? Yeah, it was 3 weeks ago. You'll be able to see it if you go to the website. Those of you who are on AM and those of you who are on the podcast, you're already on the website. If you look in that left-hand side of the page, which has been beautifully redesigned by the producers, etc., way above my pay grade, you'll see that the last three shows, the first show, this show that you're listening to, is top left corner with my photoshopped ugly maw picture. And then underneath that are the last three shows. So they're very easy to find. And then underneath that is the archives. You can go back 4 years and see all sorts of stuff. And up at the top band, you'll see a search bar. And if you enter in the words of either the show or what the show is about, Clinton, Obama, deep state, shadow government, czars, Islamic terror, all you got to do, and all the shows having to do with that will come up for you, and you can listen to the archives, including lots of national interviews, et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway, I digress. So, this insurance company was jacking us around. You need to listen to the first half of the show. And this, what was really kind of a tiny claim, relatively tiny claim for a big ranch, because they were jacking around and creating expense and drama that did not need to be created, time was lost. And when you're dealing with a water-related matter, time is critical. As we inform them time and time again, no pun intended. Anyway, they finally make this offer, which was, it was low to begin with, had they acted promptly and expeditiously. But by the time they got around to it, they had to consult their experts. Their experts who had never even seen it. Now, you know, the first thing I've learned is that an expert who opines, an expert opinion on something having to do with the land, the resource, anything physical that he or she hasn't seen is not an expert. Because experts don't opine on anything unless they see it. In any event, they get some kind of expert report, which they refuse to share with us. Unbelievable. They shoot us a lowball offer, and, you know, we exchange a few lovely emails. And to make a long story short, a whole bunch more time passed, all of it adverse, and we decided to kind of just fix this thing up, because the longer it went, the worse it got. So we started work. That kind of scared them. They upped their offer considerably, like 300%. And by that time, so much time had passed, it was no longer enough. And we told them, hell no, shove it. You're going to pay what you're going to pay. Anyway, I use that as an example of the mindless lack of common sense and arrogance of the bureaucracy. When I gave you the very first, at the inception of this story 3 weeks ago. And to kind of tie that in, this bureaucracy is now in the form, on a much bigger scale than our little deal here on a ranch, is on a much bigger scale. It is the media. It is this unholy alliance between the left and radical Islam. It is the crony capitalism and, yes, fascism, that's the definition of it, of big corporation America and, it seems, the left. Certainly the government. Bureaucracies don't end well for regular folks. That is really the point of my story, which, by the way, has yet to be concluded. So stay tuned. To be continued. We'll see how it all comes out in the end. In the wash, so to speak. Ah, so clever at 4 a.m. All right. So, let's talk a little international stuff. So Trump had a great trip. And, you know, you've heard a lot about it on the TV and the radio or read about it in the newspapers. It's not my job to go over the crap that you've heard. And I don't mean that derogatorily. Some of it, I'm sure, was fine. But it is my job to bring to your attention thoughts, ponderings, and facts that you don't get elsewhere. That the usual media outlets simply don't cover, don't want to cover, omit, lie about, or you know what? Because their bureaucracies just don't even think about. Doesn't come up to them. So, the thing that struck me about Trump's trip, because I really had no doubt that he would do well. And I had no doubt that whatever he did, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, or incredibly unbelievable, which I think his trip was. I mean, I give him an A+ all the way around. And I'm a pretty tough scorer, particularly in international matters. I knew the left would pick on him no matter what. I noticed that the left doesn't have a lot of stuff to pick on him on. You know, whether he bowed to the Saudi king when the king put a medal around his neck, and whether or not he and Melania held hands on the runway in Israel. And, you know, I think I read one article about the angle of the yarmulke that he was wearing. Oh, my God. Oh, please spare me. You got the world coming apart at the seams, economically, socially, militarily, geopolitically, North Korea, Iran, Syria, Libya, terror, you know, Bundesbank going down, Andrea Merkel, you know, having hot flashes, whatever she's doing, on and on and on and on. Another outbreak of Ebola in Africa, which nobody's reported to you. Yes, there's another outbreak of Ebola. And they're talking about whether Melania and Donald held hands. Whether she slapped his hand away on the red carpet. You know, what angle the yarmulke was on. Oh, my God. That ties right into where I'm going to give you some of the stuff I'm going to give you on this loony left. I mean, I got to tell you, I was laughing when I was writing some of this stuff down. I mean, you just can't believe it. And you can't believe the comments of the press on this trip. I mean, there were some substantive interviews and some thinking journalists out there, but the bulk of it was just unbelievable. Anyway, Donald did a bang-up job. Now, a couple things come to mind. you know what happened over there. Okay? Let's delve deeper. Let's look behind the scenes. Let's look at what this trip told us that isn't apparent. And I don't mean about American policy and how Donald... forget all that. Why did Donald Trump have to make this trip? Why did he have to, shall we say, knit... Use the knitting needle to begin to weave a tapestry of alliance and defense and offense. Why did he have to do this? Why couldn't he have just gone to, Chile and had lunch for his first foreign trip? Or Canada, the usual. The reason, folks, is Barack Obama. And I have been saying this for years on this show. In fact, there are only a few broadcasters, and I had a much smaller audience back then, that were on it. Sean Hannity, myself, Mark Levin. And I don't put myself in the same class as those guys. But nonetheless, there were very few of us. Barack Obama is not an American. Now, I don't mean he was born in Kenya. I know you lefties who listen to me going, oh my God. That's not what I mean. I mean, being an American... Forget the legal stuff. Forget the papers. Forget the citizenship documents. Being American is a state of mind. It is a belief in individual freedoms. It is a belief in limited government. It is a belief in the Constitution. And the rule of law, which flows not from some whackball judge making it up, but from the Constitution. It is a fierce pride and justifiable pride. It is a feeling that we are number one, destined to be number one, should be number one, and should act like number one. And by the way, in the process of acting like number one, take care of number one. America first. It is a belief that while all beliefs and speech and thoughts are tolerated and allowed to be believed and thought and spoken, you really don't fit in unless you have those basic American values. And yes, they can waft here and there. I mean, not everybody has to be exactly identical Donald Duck. We can all disagree on all sorts of social issues and et cetera. But there should be no disagreement on the fundamental nature of the country. On the fundamental exceptionalism of the United States. In fact, some of the disagreements, when properly discussed, usually lead to better solutions and good discussion. It's part of being a republic. No, we're not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. The only one on the planet. Even though some others try and say they are. Now, Sharia law, which is the law of Islam, which is a religion, which seeks to dominate theocratically and governmentally, the lives of all people on the planet. you don't have to believe me. And you lefties out there who like to listen to me and do all your stuff, first of all, I don't have any advertisers. So boycott that. It's one of the reasons I don't. It's one of the reasons lots of people have asked me to advertise on the show, and they are terrific people. And who knows, maybe one day I will. But up to now, I have not. So you lefties, we're going to be talking about this a little bit later in the show when we get into the loony left. The Soros and the Clinton people who've ganged up on Sean Hannity and were kind of behind in the shadows, and they live in the shadows. They're shadow people. Bill O'Reilly, et cetera, et cetera. You know, have fun with my advertisers, folks, because I don't want them. I don't need them. I don't have them. Even though I've been asked many times by very nice folks. So, if you agree that being an American is more than a piece of paper which says I'm a citizen of the United States, it is a state of mind and a state of heart and a state of being. And lots of rooms for diversity. I know the left loves that deal. Lots of room for diversity. You can be any color. You can be any creed. You can be any religion. You can be any age. You can be any gender. You could be gay. You could be trans. It doesn't matter. Being an American is a state of mind. Being American is those settlers with muskets behind stone walls on the roads leading back from Concord and Lexington to Boston, 230 plus years ago. It is the founders screaming and yelling at each other in Philadelphia as they put together this magical, really magical document called the Constitution. You know, it's the Marines raising the flag on Iwo Jima. It is, and tomorrow, by the way, is the 75th anniversary of the Battle of Midway. 6 months after Pearl Harbor, a badly damaged American fleet bushwhacked a much larger, much superior, like 3-1, Japanese fleet near the island of Midway, which the Japanese had already taken. And the dive bombers from the various American carriers were delayed over their targets by command. Bureaucracy. And therefore lost a lot more planes, and I won't go into all the details of the battle other than to say the last survivor died at the age of 100 about 6 months ago. And there's a new book that came out. I'll have the name of it for you. If not this show, then the next. But they sank three Japanese carriers. All sorts. I mean, they sank like 40% of the Japanese fleet. We lost one carrier, the Yorktown. And it changed the tide of the war in the Pacific. The Battle of the Coral Sea was another one which kind of clinched the turn of the tide when we turned back the invasion of the pending invasion of Australia by Japan, along with the Australians. I've talked about that on a show about 6-7 weeks ago. In any event, it is that battle, those dive bombers, most of whom were lost, by the way. And it is, it is me talking to you right now and telling you what I think. And, it is some liberal somewhere, I guess even a progressive, somewhere telling their audience what they think. But it is not allowing the Trojan horse of anti-constitutional forces into the country. It is not thumbing your nose at and purposely eroding the rule of law. And it is certainly not subjecting the United States and its people to danger and control by foreign entities. And no, I'm not talking about the Russia-Trump BS, which not only diverts attention from the deserved but sorry decline of the progressives and their loss of elections at every level, including lately with Hillary, but serves to divert attention from Hillary's shenanigans with Russia and John Podesta, her campaign managers, and her hubby Bill. And it also serves to turn your attention from the real traitorous activities, acts and lack of acts, of Barack Obama, Barry our friend, and his henchman, or should we say Iranian handler, Valerie Jarrett, and the whole cast of characters, Susan Rice on down, that answered directly to them. And I know some of you are shaking your head, even some of you who are not libs. Some of you are shaking their head and going, oh, some of you might be saying, oh, there he goes again. Or you might be saying, oh, you're getting out in left field, Reed. Well, let me give you a litany of facts here. Because remember, what started this little tangent of the discussion is why Donald Trump had to go to the places he had to go and say what he had to say and have a mission that is what his mission is, which is to unite the Sunni Arab nations against the Shiite of Iran and against ISIS, which is a hodgepodge of all sorts of sects, maniacal, all of them. And why he had to go to Israel. And why he had to go to the Pope. I mean, there was method in the madness. It was brilliant. And instead of going to Germany or China or Japan and talking about economy and jobs and trade, he was forced on his first tour overseas to form alliances, to try and bring enemies together, to cement and heal relationships previously damaged, to defend against enemies that are on the march and triumphantly on the march. And they are on the march, folks, for one reason. Because Barry Obama, number one, allowed them to be on the march. Number two, enabled them to be on the march. Number three, empowered them to be on the march. And number four, made damn sure that nobody interfered with their march. And if you don't think so, without boring you and wasting this whole show on it, let me run it down for you. Number one, born to a white woman from Kansas, ultra left, and a black man from Kenya who was a Muslim. Barack Hussein Obama Sr. His mother remarried. Well, she never, I'm not sure she ever got married with the first guy to begin with. Anyway, her next man in her life was also a Muslim. Barry lived in Indonesia, attended a radical madrasa. This is all fact, folks. F-A-C-T, fact. Go check it out, any source you want. Later on, Barry wrote a book, Dreams From. I've talked about this. You can type it up in the search bar and listen to my detailed shows on this kind of stuff. Dreams From My Father, not Dreams To My Father, not Dreams Of My Father, not Dreams With My Father, but From My Father. His father, in addition to being Muslim, was an ultra-Marxist. Now, flash forward. 1991, PBS interview. Listen to it yourself. Dial it up. Barack Obama, Constitution, 1991, PBS interview. I'm sure you can still raise it. He calls the Constitution a covenant of negative rights and an outdated document. He gives a speech in 2004. There's no red states, there's no blue states, there's only the United States. In 2008, he wins the election. We learn about Jeremiah Wright and him sitting in the pews there for 20 years, Black Liberation, GD America, blah, blah, blah. We learn about Michelle's associations with Louis Farrakhan, Muslim radical. We learn about Barry's associations and the launching of his political career for state senator in the living room of Bernadine Dorn and Bill Ayers, one a convicted, both an unrepentant terrorist who killed people. Killed people. Americans. Cops. Who never apologized, never repented. A book comes out, the Dreams From My Father book. You know, if you happen to have that book, if not, I don't know what this will bring up for you, but you can try it. Type into Google, Muslim passages, or passages referencing Muslim, Barack Obama, Dreams From My Father. I bet it'll call some of them up. The sound of prayer in the evening is the greatest sound on earth. And I can go on and on. When the political winds blow, I will stand with the Muslims. These are his words, folks. His words, his books. I didn't write them. I didn't make them up. He does the Cairo apology tour. He foments and supports the Arab Spring in every country except Iran, in which case the Green Movement, young students wanting democracy, not Sharia, but democratic reform, are close to overthrowing an Iranian regime, which is on its knees because of American sanctions because of its nuclear program. the Greens call out for his help. Literally, call out for his help. Google it up. He totally ignores them. He doesn't even mention them. A number of them die at the hands of the Iranian military and Revolutionary Guard, and basically the inception of the rebellion is crushed. There's a famous picture of some poor gal getting shot in the chest that was famous for a brief period of time until the media buried it. Flash forward. He pulls troops out of Iraq, leaving a huge vacuum against every single piece of advice of his military commanders and George Bush's parting advice. He reduces the forces in Afghanistan to the point where they are absolutely of no force and effect. I mean, they are really kind of stuck with being huddled in a defensive posture. He changes the rules of engagement. Type in rules of engagement, and you can listen to my show, what was it, 6-7 weeks ago? Can't shoot till you're shot at and you see the weapon. If you see somebody placing an IED, you can shoot him. But after he places it and he's walking away, you can't shoot him. So on and so forth. I mean, just outrageous. Getting Americans killed and creating a fighting situation where, you know, you can't win. And then we have the Extortion 17 travesty. Then we have the decapitation of Libya, Gaddafi, with no follow-through to get a government installed to stabilize the country. Instead, it falls into chaos, becoming a haven for terrorists. In Egypt, his buddies, the Muslim Brotherhood, whom are frequent visitors to the White House, whom have published a white paper over civilizational jihad, how to take over the United States from within. I mean, the FBI, look it up. FBI Muslim Brotherhood white paper. Their whole plan. Obama, during this time period, is appointing Muslims. Listen to my shows. Muslims Brotherhood or Muslims in the White House. Type it in the search bar. I got the names. I got the whole nine yards. They go to the security agencies. The training manuals are changed, and the words radical Islamic terror are stricken from the vocabulary of the government, including anti-terror training manuals at the FBI, CIA, etc. He turns his back on Egypt, one of our staunchest allies, when 36 million Egyptians take to the streets to throw out the Muslim Brotherhood and install and reinstall a secular government, who is one of terrorists' biggest nightmares, the Sisi, and an enemy of Iran, the Sisi. He becomes more and more friendly with Erdogan in Turkey, who becomes more and more authoritarian. He's a Muslim. The imposition of Sharia law being almost absolute now in Turkey, which was a Western nation and is a member of NATO. He takes the missiles out of Poland and Czechoslovakia to appease the Russians. Trump, by the way, is putting him back in. I mean, let me digress for a moment. So Trump is Vladimir Putin's puppet, his lackey, his secret agent. Let's see. Number one, not a single sanction has been lifted by Trump against Russia. Number two, he took out a Syrian air base, if you remember. (Clears throat) And Syria is Russia's ally. I thought it was telling Russia did nothing about it. Number three, he's putting the missile defense system back into Eastern Europe, which Barry stopped. Number four, the Justice Department is looking at reversing all or part of or restricting the deal with Uranium One, where Putin was sold 20% of America's uranium reserves by Hillary Clinton and Barry Obama, with the Clinton Foundation getting tens and tens of millions of dollars of donations from Russian outfits, and and Bill Clinton's speaking fees in Moscow suddenly doubling from $250,000 to $500,000. Then you have the famous 2012 Barry leaning over and patting Dmitry, I think it was Dmitry is the president, the Russian president's name at that time, patting his knee saying, this is my last election. I'll have much more flexibility after I win it. Tell Vladimir. Okay. Sounds great. I mean, Google up. Listen to it. Watch. It's right out there for you. Can't make this stuff up. It's Barry on camera and hot mic not knowing it. As they say, the truth. The truth shall set you free. Then we have his commanders saying, hey, the Taliban is coming back. We need more troops in Afghanistan. He ignores them. Then then you have the commander saying, you know, there's this new outfit called ISIS that's formed. They're fledgling. They're massing on the Syria-Iraqi border, and they're planning to push into Iraq since you took the troops out, and there's, like, nobody to fight them. And he does nothing. Although the recommendations are, while they're out in the open, before they do mischief, let's take them out with the Air Force. He does nothing. The Syrian civil war breaks out. He does nothing. Then he decides half-heartedly, just because he had to kind of look like he was doing something, to train the moderate Syrian rebels. We find out in the Senate hearing that there's $500 million spent to train five. That's five. One, two, three, four, five. Not 50, not 500, not 5,000. Five opposition folks for $500 million. I think they're all dead now or captured or now they're working for ISIS. Who knows? The bottom line, dismal fare, he doesn't care. He draws his red line in the sand. In the meantime, 6 million people are displaced. They are Muslims. They literally invade Europe. Destabilizing Europe and creating Muslim hotspots throughout that continent. In other words, spreading Islam. Unfortunately, as we have seen with the numerous terror attacks over there, spreading many of them, not all, spreading radical Islam. As we have seen in every single country from the UK to Germany particularly, putting women at risk, society at risk, not assimilating, and destabilizing literally the economy and the social structure and the values of Europe. We see him try to do the same thing over here with refugees, etc., 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 but there's opposition. So at least part of it is slowed down, but he still manages to bring in, I've done a show on this, 3 million quote-unquote refugees over the course of 8 years. Not all of them Muslim, not all of them from the Mideast. but all of them, or most of them, with values different than the core values of the United States and its citizens. He refuses to call terror, terror. He refuses to admit terror is terror, trying to lie to us, workplace violence at Fort Hood, letting our military, the 38 or 39 survivors of that attack, struggle for 5 and 6 years with mental and physical disabilities, our military. And because it was workplace violence under Barry, they could not get their military benefits until finally Congress called it terror. I think it was a year or a year and a half ago. Over Barry's objections, I might add. Then, of course, we have the Bo Bergdahl. 5 Taliban generals. This is during the time period the Taliban is coming back because he's taking the troops out. 5 Taliban generals go back to the Taliban, and we get Bo Bergdahl, whom he lies to us about in the Rose Garden, and Susan Rice lies to us on 5 Sunday shows about serving with honor and distinction. You know, the same guy is getting court-martialed right now for desertion, treason, and all sorts of other stuff. In the meantime, 500,000 people die in Syria. In the middle of that holocaust, he draws his red line because Assad is using chemical weapons and then does nothing, further destabilizing the region, further turning the region over to Russian control, further panic a population and creating more refugees streaming to Europe. And you know, there's more. There's Benghazi, and there's, I can go on and on. I've hit some of the main points for you. You know all these lefties who scream about Paris, which is where we're going next with this show, because it's international. People are going to die. And John Kerry, people are going to get, kids are going to get asthma. John, you are so pathetic. You pathetic, wimpy puke. Go back to mommy and get your Heinz ketchup $50,000 a month allowance from mommy, will you? Wow. God. Unbelievable. Kids are going to get asthma. People are going to die. Well, I don't know, Kerry. There's like 300,000 people that died while you were Secretary of State in Syria. What the hell did you do for them? What did you do for the tens of thousands of women sold into or kept in sexual slavery by ISIS? What did you do for them? What did you do for the French in their terror attack? You sent over James Taylor a week later to sing, "Let's Be Friends"? I mean, good Lord. Hey. The point is, folks, is that Donald Trump had to spend his time on matters related to God, I left out the most important thing. Thank you, producer. And then Barry does the Iran deal, lies to us about it, doesn't let Congress approve it, even though it's a treaty. Defined. Look it up in Webster's. An agreement between nations is a treaty. Look under the Constitution. A treaty must be ratified by 2/3 of the Senate. I can go on and on. Anyway. Does the deal with Iran. We find out there's all sorts of side letters. To this day, nobody knows really what's in the deal. He does not stay in the way of Iran continuing their ballistic missile stuff. Now listen to this. At the same time, even though intelligence is telling him that North Korea is becoming more and more and more and more of a lethal threat to the United States, and that North Korea and Iran are cooperating on missile technology, etc., against the Iran agreement and against the North Korean sanctions, by the way. He does nothing to interfere with the Iranian-North Korean relationship. He doesn't talk to the American public about North Korea. And, of course, he says Iran's just fine. They'll never have a nuclear. They'll never do this. They'll never do that. But everything's great. Even the stuff I didn't tell you about is great. Don't worry about what I didn't disclose or what I lied about, because it's all great. And the first time we hear about North Korea in many years is what? Other than the snippet here and there. He tells Trump in their meeting after the election that Trump has a big problem with North Korea. Never says a word to the rest of America. Never says a word about North Korean Iranian cooperation. And he knows damn well that his agreement's going to lead to Iran getting the bomb. Period. And he knows damn well that North Korea is going to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile, which they're going to sell to Iran, which can reach the United States. I'm not the director of the CIA. I don't run NSA. I'm not the director of national intelligence in the Pentagon. But I got this figured out. Something tells me so did Barry. And then he funds Iran with $150 billion, including $3 or $4 billion in cash. By the way, if you have cash, you can kind of evade any sanctions whatsoever, right? That's the value of cash. It's like secret. Right? Comes in a briefcase. You pay for this, that, and the other. You avoid the sanctions. You bribe people. You pay people off. Whatever. That's the value of cash. Imagine $4 billion in cash on army transport planes stacked on pallets that went to Iran under Barry. And then he lied about that, or tried to. Now, I think that's only a partial set of dots. Just partial. It would take me 5 shows to give them all to you. Big, little, and small. But this is why Donald Trump, folks, I want you to understand this, had to go to Saudi Arabia and talk to the 50 Sunni nations, which, by the way, Muslim ban. He's trying to ban all Muslims, but he's speaking to 50 leaders of Sunni nations who love him to pieces. Okay, gotcha. Iran is Russia's ally. He's speaking to the Sunnis about taking down Iran, but he loves Russia. He's speaking to the Sunnis about what to do with Syria and Assad, taking Assad down, even though Assad's an ally of the Russians. Wow. Okay. The reason he had to make that trip rather than a trip to Japan or China or South America or wherever to stimulate trade and jobs and things which would have financial benefit for Americans was the first thing he has to do is keep us alive. The money in our pocket comes after the fact that we're still breathing. Because money in your pocket, if you're not breathing, doesn't matter. And the reason he had to do that is Barack Hussein Obama. I did some research as a sidelight, by the way, on what sect of Islam, Sunni or Shiite, Barack Obama's biological and successor stepdad were, since they were both Muslims. It's split out there, I must report to you. Some people say he's Sunni. Some people don't know. and other people say Shiite. Many of those who say Shiite point to a number of things, including the fact that Hussein is one of the big heroes of the Shiite sect, you know, in ancient times, and his middle name and his father's middle name was Hussein. I don't know. But if he was Shiite, given the fact that the Sunni nations are against Iran, and this is a sectarian battle that's been going on for centuries, that would also lend some more sense as to why he coddles Iran, conceals their dealings with North Korea, allows them to continue spinning their centrifuges, and ships them all sorts of money while he lies to us about what the agreement is and how good it's going. Just a thought. So while this is all going on, you have the tension building because Trump kind of ends his tour in Europe. And all the European leaders are saying, don't get out of the Paris Climate Control Accord. Oh, that would be terrible. Nah, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, the Climate Accord, like the Iranian deal, was done by Berry. It was originally set up by Clinton. It was done by Berry and pathetic John Kerry and Susan Rice and the rest of that progressive gag-me crew of his. And let me tell you a little bit about this deal. Now, you've heard a lot of this through news reports and others. So you know what? I'm not going to go over that stuff. Here's all you need to know, and I'm not being facetious, about the Paris Accord that the left is now screaming about. I'm going to get into that in a minute. The cost over 10 to 15 years, $4 trillion. $4 trillion. The minimum cost to the United States every year, $3 billion. This is directly to the group, if you will, the Paris Accord group. The possible effect of on jobs in the United States, and this includes gains in jobs in certain green sectors. This is a net number, a net loss of 3 to 6 million jobs over a 10 to 20 year period. The United States has to immediately start cutting 26% of its carbon emissions. China and India, and the left will say that America is the biggest carbon polluter, which, by the way, is true, except by a fraction. Of a percent. And the next biggest are China and India by fractions of a percent. China and India don't have to cut their carbon emissions at all until the year 2030. That is 16 years from when all this crap was signed. They also, neither one of them have committed anything to the Paris Accord fund that we're paying $3 billion a year into. Barry managed to get $1 billion to him before he left office, of your money and my money. I want you to understand what this is, folks. This has nothing to do with climate. Never mind all the facts and science which go one way or the other. The Paris Accord has to do with control, has to do with growing governments, has to do with globalism, has to do with the diminishment of individual rights. It has to do with the antithesis to the value to America's values that I started with at the beginning of the show. And just as all his foreign policy thing were exactly opposed, purposely opposed, to American values. It is, as Donald Trump said, a bad deal. Whether the cause is noble or not, each of you can decide. Or maybe it's somewhere in between. But the deal is bad. Terrible. Terrible. How about this? Let me give you an analogy. Let's say some of you listening to me live in a homeowner's association. You got a house in a neighborhood that's a homeowner's association, or you live in a condo or a townhome. And there's dues for homeowners association maintenance, right? For the lawns and the roads and the pool and whatever. Would you sign a deal? I want you to look in the mirror right now. I want to know if you'd sign a deal that said you are going to pay dues every month of every year, beginning right now while you're looking in the mirror. But none of your neighbors have to pay squat until 2030. Would you sign that deal? You're damn right you wouldn't. And if you would, go get some financial help or psychiatric help, one or the other. All right. Trump tells everybody to shove it on the Paris Accord, and by the way, I think it was just great. I had a grin from ear to ear. And that gets us going on the loony left, because they come unglued. I'm going to give you more examples over and above the climate accord. I mean, I'm giving you all sorts of stuff. We're getting into that segment right now. I've been kind of looking forward to it because it's a riot. It's unbelievable. So, yes, that's correct. That's exactly correct. The climate accord in Paris, folks, is a wealth redistribution deal, just like Obamacare was to redistribute wealth. And it's right out of your pocket. Do you understand? It's not just a redistribution of wealth from America to the poorer countries, the $100 billion a year that the poorer countries get from the wealthy countries. Because that $100 billion is funded in part through higher rates for power and electricity, which come from our pocket, each and every one of us is going to be funding something or someone or somebody we don't know half a world away with no control over the money and no pledge. This is not enforceable, this agreement. And no pledge by them of doing anything constructive. And if they don't, no way to enforce it. Another bad deal. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, you bet. All right. So, here was the reaction to Trump deciding that America should not do a bad deal. He made no decision on climate change. He just made a decision that America should not do a bad deal. He said, no. The other kids in the condominium have to pay their dues, too. All right, they were said, let's see, John Kerry, kids will have more asthma. And this is the worst action he's seen by a United States president. I'm quoting now. The worst action that he's seen in his lifetime by a United States president ever. Is that so, John? In other words, 500,000 people dying in Syria because of decisions by Barack Obama, your president at that time. This is worse than this. This is worse than that. Really? No kidding? Tens of thousands of women in sexual slavery and their kids sold off or killed. This is worse than that? No kidding. Wow. All right. Then we have loony lefties. I'm talking about the media and entertainment and you name it. Treason, an act of war, demonic, insane. One guy said, Trump's father should have pulled out. Oh, my God. Impotent old white guy. Gave world leadership to China. Jeffrey Immel from GE. I've talked about this guy before. I mean, folks. You talk about a crony, fascist, capitalist SOB. He is it. Remember, he was like the head of Barry Obama's Jobs Council? You know, the Jobs Council that didn't do squat. And GE, oh, that's right, GE is the company that's building the wind turbines in China. In China. I haven't checked lately. If you put in wind energy, the show will come up. 2 years ago, this is by memory, of like 8,000 wind turbines installed in the United States at that time. My numbers are a little off, but you'll get the gist. 7,200, like 90 to 95%, were built not in the United States, but in China by GE. Do you think GE has a little axe to grind? And do you think GE gives a damn about its American workers? No, they're caring about their Chinese workers over in China to build the wind turbines. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. And there was a bunch of other business guys with their fingers in the pie doing the same thing. Now, along this line and leading up to it, we have just a week of bizarre. I mean, just ozone-like lefty stuff going on. On Memorial Day, Hobbs, a lefty deal, a lefty media outlet, publishes a big article. You can't make this up. This is on Memorial Day, honoring our fallen veterans. You know, back to the Revolutionary War. They publish an article over how the Marine Corps is anti-feminist. It's only 8% female, and they just ripped the Marine Corps a new butt. On Memorial Day. Not the day before, not the day after, but Memorial Day. Okay. Then we have this Kathy Griffin gal with the photo, you know, of a beheaded. She's holding Trump's bloody head and all this stuff. Then we have just today, yesterday, we have her unbelievable, unbelievably pathetic apology, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, and blaming it all on old white guys. The old white guys are out to get me. Then, of course, this week we have Hillary Clinton's. You really have to listen to it, folks. You must spend 10 or 20 minutes and listen to this interview because it's unbelievable. I mean, down to blaming the Democratic National Committee for her loss, right? They weren't behind her. They were disorganized. They were broke. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. She outspent Trump 7-1. Hillary Clinton outspent Donald Trump 7-1 on this election and lost. Then we have The Gap, you know, the clothing store chain. They now have an advertising deal which came out this week with women in hijabs. Yeah. That's right. They're advertising to Sharia to sell clothes. You know, can I make a recommendation? Those of you who listen to me, I don't think many of you go to the Gap, but those of you that do, find another place to go. Heineken comes out with an ad saying, what we need is a world without borders. I suppose so beer trucks don't have to slow down at the gates. I don't know. Starbucks comes out and kind of doubles down on the Palestinian side of the Palestinian and Israel dispute. Tucker Carlson had this interview with some academician, this gal who just, I mean, her whole persona just radiated hate. Just unbelievable. But there's a film of her, she's a professor, literally beating on a Trump supporter who has his hands in the air like, you know, he doesn't want to even look like he's touching her. He then gets pulled to the ground by some of her friends, kicked and stomped in the whole nine yards. And she's on with Tucker Carlson calling the people she was beating up on fascists. This is a professor. They were right-wing fascists. You know, with the film going on in the other quadrant of the TV screen panel of her and her friends beating up these unarmed people who were not resisting at all. Oy, oy, oy. A professor who does not know the definition of fascist. Or, you know, doesn't know the old story, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the most fascist of them all? Okay. Who? Then they have the whole deal this last week with the Clinton, Soros, and a bunch of other lefties trying to go after the advertisers for Sean Hannity. Anyway. It's just unbelievable. By the way, there is a group now fighting back on this. May I recommend you look up their website? It's very interesting. And you can see, I mean, I don't have time here on my weekly show, but you can see on this website a sampling in video of some of the wackiest, I mean, time after time after time. It's unbelievable. Some of the wackiest crap you will ever hear out of the mouths of human beings from all sorts of lefty commentators. And the name of that site is MediaEqualizer.com. That's MediaEqualizer.com. Sean Hannity has had them on his show several times this week. Really, it's worth going to that site and seeing what the clips they put together. Oh, my God. Make sure you have a cup of coffee or a beer or a stiff shot of bourbon because it's, wow, unbelievable. All right. Look, that's just some of the stuff that's going on this week. Just some of the stuff. Oh, yeah, that's a really good one. So illegal aliens, you can't make this stuff up. Illegal aliens, these are people who are here illegally against the law. They are striking on college campuses, a number of them, particularly California, Washington, Oregon, of course. And they're striking for, listen to this now, these are illegal aliens. Number one, free tuition for illegal aliens. Number two, a legal defense fund for all illegal aliens. And number three, free health care for illegal aliens. Okay, you bet. I'm going to jump all over that. I'm going to write my congressman right now and say, You need to do this for these poor people. You bet. The reason that there is 30 or 35% of the population that believes this crap is, number one, the progressive mentality. But number two, it's because progressives have dumbed down the education system to the point that, did you say you wanted me to talk about Planned Parenthood, that one too? Another loony left deal? I will in just a sec. Yeah, good. Yeah, you bet. So, the reason anybody believes any of this crap is because they are being indoctrinated, not taught. A study just came out by Project Baltimore, which is totally unaffiliated with anything. I mean, they're just community deal. This is indicative, folks, of many schools around the country, particularly in inner cities. And you can look it up. The writer is Ashley, that's A-S-H-L-E-Y, Ray, R-A-E, Goldenberg. Just came out, it's either Tuesday, May 30th or Wednesday, May 31st. Six schools in Baltimore, you remember Baltimore, right? This is the city that paid $6 million, $6 million to the family of that guy that was killed, arrested the six cops, spent another couple million dollars trying to prosecute them by a crooked prosecutor, Mosley. All of them walked. I don't think three of them ever went to trial. The other three won. Nobody was convicted of anything. So they've now spent $10 million on their bogus crap. In the meantime, there's six schools in Baltimore that have zero, that's zero, students proficient in math and English. Unbelievable. I'm not sure I have a lot of listeners in Baltimore. I'm sure I have listeners. I know I have many listeners in Maryland. The schools are Booker T. Washington Middle School, Frederick Douglass High School, Achievement Academy at Harbor City, New Era Academy, Excel Academy at Francis M. Wood High, and New Hope Academy. Now, these are some stats that will blow your mind. So the students are tested and they're scored on a scale of 1 through 5. 4 or 5 means the student is proficient. 3 means they are approaching expectations, and 2 or 1 means total bust. The tests that these kids were given at these schools. Now listen to this. 89% of the students tested with the lowest possible score, that's a 1, in math. Only one student, one, received a 3, which is approaching expectations. There were no 4s and 5s. The results were very similar with English. Now, if you're not teaching kids at that age, think how susceptible they are to indoctrination when they become later in life. Because they don't read, and they don't listen, and they can't figure, and they can't put together logic. Because they purposely haven't been trained, or they've been purposely mistrained. You could call that a loony left thing, I suppose. And by the way, on the loony left this week also, Planned Parenthood just released its annual report. My producer reminded me of this one. This is unbelievable. So taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood increased in the last year of Obama's budget. And so did their profits. They are a for-profit organization. I don't know if you know that or not. Their profits were up 31% in the same year that the government funded them more money. And by the way, in the same year, same fiscal period, that a good portion of that money was spent by them on political contributions to leftists. That's right. Our tax money paying political stuff. That is not in our best interest. Planned Parenthood aborted 328,000 children last year. 328,000 abortions. I've brought you the stories, and I'm sure you've seen on TV, they sell baby body parts as a sideline and then joke about it over lunch. It was paid $554.6 million taxpayer dollars last year. And just as the on the media side, the libs are trying to attack media hosts like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly, and you name it. So too, this is a tactic of the left, the loony left. In some cases, not so loony. Loony, but clever. They are now attacking, they're funding attacks. Remember, this is with our taxpayer dollars, to a profit organization whose profits went up 31%. They are taking our taxpayer dollars and they are funding groups and attorneys who are suing pro-life pregnancy centers, trying to shut them down so there's no competition. Number one, they make more money, and number two, they have no competition for their ideology. Do you see how all this works, folks? There's a money and control and power quotient, and there is a silence the other side quotient to make more money, power, and control. Gave you two examples just now. I can give you dozens. Maybe I'll do a whole show on it one time. Speaking of money, there's a rumor floating around by a journalist by the name of George Webb, who, by the way, wrote a hell of a telltale book on the Clintons, that after Trump fired Comey, John Podesta was asked and is now in a frenzy to unload like $40 billion from the Clinton Foundation. He's doing it by buying up art, gold, diamonds, and spreading them out to safety deposit boxes, whatever, all around the world, because then those assets can't be seized by a new FBI director. You think there's some nervousness over there in the Clinton camp? By the way, have you noticed that the story about Seth Richards went, like, completely dark? Did you know that the Soros-Clinton folks used that as a point of leverage against Hannity and against other conservatives? The Democrats really don't want to be talking about Seth Richards, which, of course, stirs my curiosity even more. And I'm going to stay on the story because I am convinced, given all the dots, and there, by the way, there was another one this week, and that was they have confirmed that there were WikiLeaks communications with his laptop. Now, I'm waiting for a second source on that, but that's been confirmed by one. So you have Seth Richards, the murder of Seth Richards, completely shut down by the left. You haven't heard a peep. And you have Clinton with her unbelievable interview, like, wah, 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 this week. And now you have this report. Once again, I've only seen it in one publication. You have this report about them converting Clinton Foundation assets. We know they shut down taking money in and running and operating the Clinton Foundation. We know that's happened. I reported that to you like 3 months ago. You know, they shut down the racketeering outfit so it can't be investigated, is what they've done. But now the assets that were in there are getting converted to all these hard assets that can get spread around the world outside the reach of sanctions, U.S. banks, you name it. I'm going to keep my eye on that story for you. I believe I'm pretty sure I printed it under either Clinton or Scandal, or posted it, had it posted. Now, here's the best news. No pun intended. So, fake news. All this crap that I was telling you about, the loony left, all of it is amplified and replayed time and time and time again and embellished and twisted and distorted and omitted by the mainstream media. They take the wormhole and make it the black hole. They take the molehill and they make it a mountain. And you know what? They are presuming that we are like those poor kids in those Baltimore schools, that we haven't been trained, we haven't thought, we don't have any common sense. Well, a Harvard poll kind of shows that the United States has woken up. Thank you, Donald Trump. Harvard Harris was the poll. Harris polls and Harvard. 65% of voters believe that the mainstream media is guilty of distributing false reports. Woo! Wow. 2006 registered voters were polled for this, by the way, from May 17th to May 20th. More than 80% of those polled say that people are tired of the divided population, the division between left and right, etc., and that more than 80% want to see the divide go away. They want the divide solved. They want our folks to work together and get some stuff done. That doesn't bode well for the Democrats' party of no obstructionism, etc., resistance. Doesn't bode well for them at all. 89%, by the way, that's the exact percentage. 89% say they want to see this divide come together. Donald Trump, this was an actual question in the survey. Donald Trump is a puppet of Vladimir Putin. 66% don't buy it at all. At all. Give it no credence. 66%. Boy, the media sure wasting a hell of a lot of time screaming about it, aren't they? You bet. Now, one of the reasons the media, this poll points this out, by the way, as part of its study. Very interesting. So, in the early 80s, which isn't too long ago, right? 25, 30 years ago. 35 years ago, there were 50 corporations which controlled news media in America. That means television, movies, magazines, books, music, all combined. Before the First World War, to put it in context for you, there were like 500. So there's a guy by the name of Ben Bagdikian. Bagdikian. He published a book called The Media Monopoly. This is in 1983. And he predicted that the 50 corporations would dwindle to less than a dozen in the coming decades. Of course, all these mainstream media corporations said, no way, that's BS, that's not going to happen. Guess what? In 2012, Forbes reported that all this enormous media power is now concentrated in just six companies. Basically, six companies. Not 50 anymore, not 500. own the entire mainstream media. And that those six companies were owned by 15 billionaires. So what I'm trying to tell you folks is that the mainstream media is ultimately controlled by 15 people, the great majority of which are globalists, anti-individualists, crony capitalists, or worse. Is there any reason that you think the mainstream media is telling you the truth? Or should we say, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and the unfettered truth? Exactly. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I got all sorts of stuff to talk with you about next week, too. We're going to be talking about pensions, which are in a world of hurt everywhere. We're going to be talking some more of this international stuff. I might have a segment on North Korea, which is more and more dangerous, more and more destabilized. And, of course, we will have whatever frenetic activity takes place in this coming week, which, under Trump, there's no shortage of. You have a safe week, folks, for your first week in June. And we'll talk to you soon.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.